At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Surfside High School in the sun. The ocean of blue where the surfers have fun. There's a girl who's one of a kind. A friend like her is hard to find. Maxie, the girl on the go. Ooh, Maxie, her own TV show.
Buddy, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, spinning our wheels so we could all be together 3 weeks in a row and do G.I. Joe the live action movie. And Lord knows we need to get to that soon enough. Anyway, this is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am humbly Race to Canis.
Didn't we already do the live action movie? What was I doing a couple weeks ago?
Well, we watched it live with fans on the Patreon, but we have to actually like do the show about the show.
But I wasted all my good bits during that episode.
Yeah, but only patrons saw that, so you're good.
Well, I thought you were recording it.
We did record it.
I haven't seen it. Is it? What's it about?
It's about 2 hours long.
Huh.
What did we record it for if it's not going up?
For a Patreon exclusive video and hangout.
You got to come up with all new bits, Gina. Get on it.
I refuse. I do things once or not at all.
Gina, there was a writer strike going on.
I'm not familiar.
Anyway, who are you people?
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
Boy,
I don't know I got defeated. So over this podcast so quickly. Usually I can manage it for at least a few minutes before we actually get into the cartoon and I realize, oh God, we have to keep talking about this because it was trash. But no, I'm done with the cartoon. I'm done with you. I'm done with the concept of podcasts in general.
Your disgust is evident to the fans, by the way. The fans who reach out to us all the time.
It's true. They
and
do.
Who you ignore.
Well, are they on friggin' Blue Sky? Because I'm nowhere else.
No one's on Blue Sky, Chan. That's the problem.
I am.
Yeah. Unfortunately, resorting to a Chan-based economy has not been working well for the fine folks at Blue Sky.
They can come to our Discord, get on the Patreon and I'll talk to you on Discord.
Hey, I used the Discord and as a voice channel for online gaming a couple days ago, and that was great.
Gross.
It was a lot of fun.
Chan, are you on LinkedIn?
I'm sure I am. I keep getting emails from them.
I had the joy of canceling my LinkedIn premium. That's how you know, like you've made it to the next step.
You got LinkedIn Premium?
You have to get LinkedIn Premium, Chan.
I also got it for 1 month.
Yeah, you get it when you're unemployed. You have to. That's the cost of doing business. You have to pay for LinkedIn Premium.
What business?
And then you cancel it in order to, because you're trying to get like a position and or a good position, and you need to get out there, and you need to have the recruiters reaching out to you, and you need to. They don't put the good jobs in your purview until you pay them money. And it's just,
I just did
sucks.
It so I could see who was looking at my profile and who had a crush on me.
Yeah.
Capitalism is disgusting.
Chan,
add that to the list.
Someone,
that to the list of shit I'm over.
As someone who needs a job, you should be on more things.
I have a job.
Chan, yeah. To be fair, given the steps you're trying to take, you should absolutely have LinkedIn Premium right now.
And other sites. That's how everyone finds their jobs these days.
Yeah, I found a job at jobs on Indeed before. It's a thing that happens
I found my job the way everybody should, having trans friends talk to each other and getting me a gig.
No, I mean, but that is a viable strategy in LA.
You want a different job?
No, I don't.
You see, you're chill with this job and you're gonna keep it forever?
Yeah. Why?
Honestly, well, Gina, I think he's telling the truth.
Oh, well, then I guess you don't need to be on any
if you don't care about that, then stay off of LinkedIn Premium. That shit's expensive. $40 a month.
Oh my God.
Cost of doing business, Chan.
No, it is not. It's the cost of selling your soul to fucking Ronald Reagan's ball sweat.
Chan, we're Americans. We sold our soul a long time ago.
I signed up for a free month, so I didn't pay anything.
No, that's smart, though. Sign up for a free month.
You had to send them pictures of your feet, Gina. That's not free.
Listen, they're already out there. They're already out there. I don't need to send anyone anything.
That's true. Can you send me a link?
A quick Google search will do it for you.
Hold on. BRB.
You know what I tell you? Freedom isn't free.
but Gina's foot pics are?
Gina's foot pics are free on the internet, yes.
Listen, I only got about 10 more years worth of good foot pics in me before no one wants them anymore.
Then you start reusing them. Like, you take a bunch of extra now, and then you just coast you an extra 20.
Wow, your feet looked younger on your dating profile.
Hold on. Whoa. Do you put pictures of your feet on your dating profile?
My dating profile is just feet.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Wow. I'm just picturing the account of fucking whatever website it is. Feet.
And all my prompts are piggy related. What does your little piggy want to do? And then I put my little piggy wants to go wee, wee, wee all the way home.
You know what? This explains a lot of your dating history.
I mean, sadly. I can only hope any new beaus don't listen to this show.
They know what they're getting into.
Oh, my God. Anyway, we're talking about a show called, what is this show called, Chan? This is your deal. Maxie's World?
I don't even care. I'm going to see if we can.
Maxie's World. I've never heard of this.
Without talking about this cartoon even once.
Look, we're not going to talk about it very much, for the record. If you came in and you're a diehard Maxie's World fan, you're going to be disappointed in our run through today.
According to IMDb, this was originally pitched as a Barbie and the Rockers show, but they wanted a new toy. So the toy came first, and then they were told to write a show on this. So it was a Deke show, 1989, 32 episodes. I sent the Wikipedia description to someone who said, was this written by AI? And I said, no, it was a 1989 show.
Deke, everybody.
This was intended to basically, Jem didn't do as well as they expected. So they're like, well, let's do this and maybe this will hit. We'll be able to make toys and whatnot. So I thought that maybe, Gina, you might have run across this since they would have pitched it at you and your kind. At the time,
what toys would they pitch? Would they make off of this? Though these are the most unremarkable character sets I think we've ever done on the show.
The toys do look very Barbie-ish. The chicks, the main chick, Maxie Pad, does look very Barbie-ish.
I imagine like they were like, oh shit, if this girl has a TV show, so in addition to the toys, we can sell the play set that is like, got all the cameras and stuff, and you'll like, host your own TV show with the blah, blah, blah.
This is the part of the Wikipedia page that got me. It says, oh wait, where is it? Oh, okay.
It really got you, didn't it?
It says the title character Maxie is a straight A student, cheerleader, and surfer girl who attends Surfside High School in California. In addition to her life as a typical teenager, she routinely finds adventure solving crimes and investigating mysteries and hosts her own TV show. I think this chick is overextended.
That's a lot for one person.
Straight A student, cheerleader, surfer girl, solves crimes, investigates mysteries, hosts her own TV show.
Here's a little peek behind the curtain. If you are here before we start recording, you know, 5, 10, 30, well, it used to be like an hour and a half. Now it's a little shorter. But if you hear Gina talking, that is 100% Gina Ippolito's life. She's constantly complaining that she's hosting too much. She's doing too much homework for.
Listen, I try to free my schedule, but then people keep asking me to help solve their mysteries.
Yeah. The mysteries is the weird part, I think.
And
so many people die around Gina. Like, they got to know that it's just like Murder, She Wrote. Like, it's not
I'm
the world.
Constantly solving mysteries and hosting shows. Honestly, this is my life. This does sound a lot like my life.
Not Donny. I mean, to be fair, we can't record this show on the weekends because Gina's hunting ghosts typically.
Bopping ghosts, please.
Excuse me, bopping them. Now, look.
But hold on, because yes. The thing that grabbed me in the Wikipedia was the name, was it Andy Hayward?
Yes, Andy Hayward. From?
I clicked on it because I was like, this name sounds familiar. And he is currently the CEO of Cartoon Studios, which naturally, spelled with a K, anytime somebody changes a C word to a K word, I assume they're racist.
Yes.
And his like deal with this company is like he fucking tried to sell some Stan Lee shit. They partnered with Stan Lee's pal after he got fired, left Marvel. Some weirdness where Stan Lee is like, I can do this on my own, True Believer. Turns out he can't. He absolutely can't. Uh-huh. But then they're like, okay, well, you know, like while we're doing that, let's get in with fucking Martha Stewart and Gisele Bündchen, and we're going to launch cartoons based on them. Mm-hmm. They fucking went to Berkshire Hathaway chairman Warren Buffett to create the Secret Millionaires Club cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
This guy is...
cool.
This guy's, first off, this guy is awesome. And it is, if you look at his IMDb for executive producing, he's been at it a very long time. And it's a who's who of shows that we've done on this show. I mean, first off, he was also responsible for G.I. Joe Operation Dragonfire, which is what I thought you were going to say, because he was part of Deke era G.I. Joe.
Yeah. Here's the thing. He is next to a lot of things. Almost none of them are good. Almost all of them are bad.
let me just tell
if he actually contributes anything or he's just there as a hanger on, much in the same way as Stan Lee, which is why when I saw them two together, I'm like, oh, I feel like these are birds of a feather.
Look, if I just start, I'm just going to really quick here. I'm going to go through starting in the mid 80s, and I'm just going to pick out shows he was executive producer of that we did. Starting, of course, with Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling, followed by Zubily Zoo. Followed by Maxie's World, which we're doing allegedly right now. Beverly Hills Teens, Dino Saucers, Alf, Cops, the G.I. Joe Operation Dragonfire, Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters, Super Mario Brothers, Super Show, Kissy Fur, Camp Candy, Pro Stars, Captain N the Game Master, and I just hit 1991. He was executive producer of all of Deke era G.I. Joe as well, and Defenders of Dinatron City. It is, and there's way more. We should just be using his IMDb page to fill in gaps at this point.
I mean, that's a good point.
These are all bad.
That's not what we do.
Captain Planet, Hammerman, of course, Hammerman. You got to love that. The Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon show. I mean, these are all genius program, including, and I got to go all the way here to 2023, my guy, Andy Hayward, 2023's Shaq's Garage, which I gotta see what this is about. It involves Shaquille O'Neal. Here we go. Depicting the secret adventures of Shaquille's extraordinary collection of animated cars, trucks, and automobiles. All the vehicles have unique attributes, and each artifact story will be as special as Shaquille himself.
100% they tried to sell this to Jay Leno. He turned him down. Like, who else can we get? Who likes cars? You, the tall guy in the back. You like cars? All right, here, I'll give you a cartoon. Boom, there you go.
User reviews, 8.4 out of 10, predominantly 10-star reviews. Shaq's Garage. Put it on the list, Chan. I want to see it.
Have you ever been to Amazon? Are you familiar with how reviews work?
Well, there's only 24 of them.
To give 10-star reviews to everything.
Yeah. And if you can't trust the internet, I don't know what's going on anymore.
I haven't been to Amazon, but I have been to the Amazon. In fact, he was in the Amazon with my mom when she was researching spiders right before she died.
Oh my God.
You know, I haven't watched Madam Web, but I do understand the reference.
I it's weird, Gina, because I had a dream that you and Chan were killing me in my apartment.
No, that wasn't a dream. That was a plan that didn't quite come together.
Oh, man. Look, let's talk, let's at least for a moment talk about, there are two halves to this episode of two different stories, and
real
both
quick,
of them are about as...
You need to know that there are 24 reviews of Shaq's Garage. None of them have any text. They are all entirely clicks for stars, which means it's bullshit. All of this is bullshit. Andy Hayward has done more damage to my life personally than I had previously been aware of.
I do but I think he could guy. Do more. I think I, he could do more.
Oh, he's still alive, so I imagine he will. And if we end up having to watch this fucking
I'll send him an email right now. I'll send him an email right now and ask him to please.
Oh my God, I'm looking at the art for this, and it's just, it's like those, oh God, what are those? Those awful car kids, you know, no, I can't. No, my brain is.
No, I know what you're talking about, Chan, and it is that, but I can't remember the name of it either. But yes, and honestly, if you told me this was made by AI, I'd believe you. Look at the shapes of these cars. Those aren't car shapes.
I don't think you've ever seen a car, Ray.
Well, you might be right about that. I drive a Prius.
I will say this first episode called Goodbye Ghoul World really throws us right into the action with no explanation of anything.
Boy, we're on a cruise ship with one of the most attractive cartoon characters in history as the captain.
What the? Yeah, why isn't she the lead of this thing?
I would watch any show with her in it, like a mesmerizing personality. Business first with this lady. Respect
also,
her and her profession.
But I can't watch anything with her in it because, spoiler alert, every idiot on this show believes there's a ghost by the end.
Well, they should because it's proven. You could have Christopher Hitchens outside this boat. He would have been like, I guess there's ghosts now.
I mean, yes, because he is dead. So he would be a ghost. And he'd be like, there's ghosts. You're like, Jesus Christ, I guess so.
Just saying. Look, okay, so here's the deal. These plots could be explained in about two sentences for their entireties.
Yeah,
there is not a lot that happens here.
Is we're ripping off Ghostbusters. The
yes,
end.
Yes. So there's a big old cruise ship, and in the middle of the ballroom, there's a giant apparition, and everybody runs off the boat. They dock the boat. They say, we have to get the cops out here. And any paranormal investigators. Oh, and while we're at it, let me call my friend Teenager Maxie, who has a TV show, because she might be able to help first.
No. That was the cop that did that.
Excuse me. Okay. Well, either way, what are we doing here?
It's very cop-like behavior.
To be fair, maybe this small child, this high school child, can solve all our problems for us and we don't have to work.
I mean, the good news is if the cops actually did get involved, they would have beat the shit out of that kid.
No, not only the cops, they got involved well after everything was done, and they also had to sneak this kid off the boat so he wouldn't get the shit beat out of him by the police.
I wanted this kid to get the shit beat out of him.
I'll be honest, I did as well.
No.
I hate his guts.
No, I 100% blame every adult in here because... If you're spooked, if you're that fucking scared of a flashlight, then you deserve everything that you get. You all should have jumped off the boat and tried to swim ashore.
This kid, not there. You know that there's one passenger. You know, we're at 8:30 here, so I don't feel bad spoiling things. But this kid is the one creating ghosts with a flashlight because his dad took away his Xbox or whatever video game system he's playing, and so he ran away from home. And Barbie decides that she doesn't want him to get in trouble, so she's just going to pretend that the ghosts are real. And you know that there is one motherfucker who is like borderline schizophrenic on this cruise, who is going to go home and blow his brains out.
Oh my God.
because he's going to keep it together and he's going to drive home from this cruise and he's going to go, huh, strange cruise. I guess ghosts exist. And then he's going to put on his finest suit.
Oh no.
Gina, no. That person who has mental issues, I'm not going to say schizophrenia, I'm not going to say anything specific, just that has some issues, sees that there's a ghost, is like, oh my God, my entire worldview has been blown. He goes and starts a podcast, gets $100 million from Spotify, and ruins.
Well, so either way, way, this kid is either responsible for the death of a mentally questionable individual or a new podcast out there in the world, in which case, for either case, this kid deserves to have the shit kicked out of him.
Well, the funny thing is this is a 12 minute or so episode. And remember and it's about 7.5 minutes in when we finally meet the kid. And can I just go ahead and say, literally nothing happens in that first 7.5 minutes other than like the gang shows up. One of them, the boy of the gang, is wearing a Ghostbusters proton pack that he made, I guess. Uh-huh. And then they just walk around the ship, occasionally seeing a small being wearing a sheet running down corridors at a distance.
But
that's,
you know,
all that happens. I couldn't believe it. But this is a show where nothing happened.
But it's even weirder that they throw you right into it, because like literally in the first 30 seconds, it's like, hey, we're on a cruise. Oh, my God, a ghost.
Yeah.
And if you know you have no real plot and that all it is like, oh, Maxie's crew shows up and finds out it's a kid, like, let us spend some time on this cruise. Like the first 2 minutes, you could show people having a good time on the cruise before the ghost shows up. But no, this weird fake ghost shows up in 5 seconds. And then we spend the next 10 minutes doing nothing.
Well, no, because it's a Ghostbusters parody. That's the whole point of it. Like, they're slapping on like a loose skeleton of a Scooby-Doo plot. But it seems pretty obvious from the jump. Like that woo shows up and you're like, oh, well, that's like somebody putting on a ghost. And then like, oh, and it eats food. Like, well, there's a fucking kid stowing away on that boat with a flashlight and making scary noises. So it's like, it's not about like what happens. It's like, how do we find out? And like, what does that mean? What if Maxie is a person? Like, what kind of person is she? And like, why is this dumb idiot? And God bless him. Like, make the bimbo like a guy for once.
I would have a lot of respect for this cartoon if so. Maxie is the only one who knows that the ghost is caused by a kid, because she goes off by herself and finds the kid,
yeah,
who is wearing a sheet like a ghost, but also has a flashlight that makes ghosts appear. I would have a lot of respect for this show if she was like, hey, why are you doing this, kid? And he was like, oh, my dad took away my video game machine, so I ran away to this cruise where I could do whatever I wanted. And then ghosts? I don't know. I don't know why he makes the ghosts. But if she was like, oh, okay, so no one knows you're here? And then he's like, no. And then she bludgeons him to death and dumps his body overboard. And then she's like, hey, ghost problem solved. And then no one knows what happens to that kid ever.
Except, you know, let me add this. He comes back as a ghost.
Oh,
there you go. There you go. Or it's, I know what you did last summer. And Maxie starts getting little letters that say, I know what you did last summer.
You know what? These characters in an I Know What You Did Last Summer, I would go see it.
This is what I'm saying.
That's very
good. Turn this into a real horror show.
When at first, in the intro, they're like, she's got her own TV show. I was like, what? Is intro referencing the show, you know, like Strawberry Shortcake, this is her show. And then I was like, oh, okay, I see. The gimmick is that she has her own TV show in the world of the show. And I thought that this would be, she was doing this to get a story for her show. And that's why they did all the stuff. But then, yeah, they just like sent her home.
It's because she has 18 different jobs. She's a surfer girl. She solves mysteries, which is totally separate.
Well, that's why you have to dovetail your gigs. Like, you're surfing and then you film the surfing to show on the TV show. That's what being a content creator is all about. By the way, why aren't we doing video for this episode?
First of all, that's Dodge. Not, that would show too much foresight on this show for our show and for her show and for this.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3 quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
This Maxi's World show. It would show too much. I think that really the guy was probably on cocaine and was in a room pitching. And he was like, all right, you know, Barbie and the Rockers. And they're like, yeah, we do, but we can't use that property. And he's like, oh, okay. No problem. No problem. This
Maxie
is a chick
and the Rockers.
This is a chick called Maxie. And they're like, yeah, okay. What's Maxie's thing? And he's like, ah, she's a straight A student. And they're like, okay. And he's like, she's a surfer. And they're like, and he's like a cheerleader. And then they're like, oh yeah, I love this. And he's like, yeah, yeah. I'm all coked up. Let's also make her solve mysteries. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. But also sometimes she's also a host of a TV show. And then they're like, sold in the room, sir.
Two things. One, the guy you're referring to is Andy Hayward. Now, 100% buy that absolutely every project you ever sold was done exactly in that way. Two, you are, as we have previously established, we're describing your life, which suggests to me that you are constantly on coke and wondering what to do with all of this energy you have. So no
Jan,
more.
Wait a minute. Jan.
Shit you do.
How do you think she manages to accomplish all of the things she does in a day and always has a heart out at 9 before she crashes?
That's true. That's true. I'm fading fast here.
Tonight, Ray.
Gina, assuredly. And
who has
a
heart out at 9, Ray?
Let's talk. So, okay, I got to talk about this. I'm going to dodge that like Gina dodged the video overalls? Question.
Let's talk about the overalls. Why are the girls wearing those fucking overalls?
Because you said it. It's a Ghostbusters parody.
It's a whole you know, no, they the wear guy, those overalls.
The guy is wearing something that looks like the Ghostbusters. The girls are wearing denim overalls with like white collared shirts,
yeah,
which look nothing like the Ghostbusters.
That's what the Ghostbusters wore.
Have you seen? I have watched. Madam, I have watched the Ghostbusters, the real Ghostbusters, Extreme Ghostbusters. I have watched the Ghostbusters Afterlife movies. None of them are wearing these goddamn overalls.
This is the sketch comedy version of, hey, I wrote a Ghostbusters sketch. Do you guys have anything that looks like Ghostbusters stuff? And then your entire sketch team says, yeah, I could probably throw something together. And you're like, okay, great. And then they show up to the tech rehearsal and you're like, where are your Ghostbusters shit? And they're like, oh, well, I have overalls. And you're like, Ghostbusters didn't wear overalls. And they're like, come on, man. It's the main stage at IO West. No one's going to care.
And they're right, for the record. And to be fair, these are full on Oshkosh Bagosh, and I'm here for it.
I mean, you realize this is the real answer they don't have is that-
They don't have to source anything from their wardrobe. They could just draw it because it's a fucking cartoon.
No, the real answer is that they had already designed the toy line for this and they said, find a reason to put them in.
They're like, what? We got these overalls. We got motorcycle overalls. Let's make a cart. Let's make an episode so that we can sell these things. Well, what would they be doing in overalls? I don't know. Like, what are those ghost boppers things? Yeah, sure. What did you call them? Ghost bopping. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's definitely what we're going to call it.
So you made 1,000 of these doll overalls. Am I right? Oh my God, we made 100,000 of these doll overalls. What else do we do? Let's make a cartoon about dolls who wear overalls. Brilliant.
It's the fucking 80s. That's 1989 for you.
I got to talk about the plot, the plan here. The plot is. Look, and to be fair, the animation, too, I'll just point out, there's a lot of clips of these women walking in place, and we're supposed to just imagine they're walking down the hall. It's incredible. I want to say here, the plan here is, okay, two things. One, the kid, she's like, why are you on this boat with a magic flashlight pretending to make ghosts? Great question, Maxie. And his response is, well, I ran away from home because of the, you know, the video game thing. And my choices were either do this on a boat or a train. And she's like, I guess you made the right decision. And I don't agree. I think there was a third option in there somewhere, Bucky.
Yeah, also, I'm also confused about this plan. I'm also not sure why he needed, why, like, if he was running away anyway, why not just like, now no one is on the cruise. There's no chef on there. There's no nothing.
Nothing.
He could have hit out on that cruise and lived the high life like Zach and Cody.
Not just that. Nobody knew he was there. He could have just left when everybody else left.
That's a good point.
Why is he running around with a sheet on his head? Unless he thought that's where the Klan rally was supposed to take place.
I mean, cartoon with a K.
That's true. Maybe.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
They already built the toy. They already built the kids in the Klan toy.
The other part of this is Maxie's big plan, because somehow this we have to keep this kid a secret. We can't just get him off to smuggle him off the boat for some reason. And we couldn't just say, oh, he's part of our crew. Like the captain was taking a head count of Maxie's seven deep girls in overalls crew. Anyway, so her thing is, okay, we're going to gather everyone outside the boat. This kid is going to shine the ghost in the air above the boat. The bimbo dude is going to shoot his particle accelerator proton pack at the ghost, killing the ghost. And then we have a speedboat alongside the boat on the backside, and we're all going to rappel down into the speedboat and drive away. That is legitimately what happens to end this episode. And much like the train versus boat, I can't help but think there were more options on the table than what we came up out with.
This picture that Chan just sent is insane. Also,
she looks like she's 300 pounds. Drunk as hell, and like nothing against any of it. It's just that the outfit is so unflattering on her, and they did it to all of them for some reason.
That is an outrageous picture.
This kid was like, because they just sort of say like, okay, like go home now, little kid. I think he was probably killed on his way home. Never made it.
No, because at the end of the episode, we got the Duke's going to be A-OK voiceover as the camera's pulling away of Maxie saying, we checked in with them, and it turns out both him and his dad are keeping their promise about the video games and the homework.
That's right. I blocked that out of my mind.
I don't blame you.
But I will say that it's very possible that the dad lied and he killed his son. Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of 1990s Unsolved Mysteries. I think this dad, kid came home and the dad said, hey, where you been? And the kid said, oh, I'm so sorry, dad. I ran away because of the video game thing. I made a ghost on a cruise ship. There's probably some man right now that's blowing his brains out because ghosts exist. I'm very sorry. I'll never do it again. And then the dad drowned him in the bathtub. And then when Maxie called, he said, yeah, my son's doing fine. We're both keeping our promises about the video games. He's not going to run away again, I'll tell you that much. And then Maxie's like, oh, okay, great. I'll update my audience.
I just like the idea that we had a post-game added in update. Like it was an unsolved mystery. I love that.
The construction of the show in both instances has a lesson in it. Like this one is like, don't run away. And the other one's like, don't treat foreigners like dirt or the new kid like trash.
I'm not sure that was the message of the second one. Also, shouldn't the first one also be like, hey, don't pretend there's ghosts?
That would be a great thing to take away from this. Yeah.
It would be a great thing if that were indeed the point. It wasn't. They're like very specifically, let's see, there's this.
There's nothing fun about running away.
That is textbook 80s PSA talk.
I mean, that's the truth right there.
And at the end, I'll define it, but there was another line that was specifically, oh yeah, 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 yeah.
See these folks from all over the world? Some of them have accents just like you. It means they can speak two languages. I envy you.
So there's definitely.
That doesn't seem like a lesson.
That was part of the Coke pitch.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages. Hey, Hulkamaniacs, you proved to the Hulkster that you're a true Hulkamaniac by renting my new movie, Suburban Commando, one of the greatest movies the Hulkster's ever appeared in. Now I'm going to tell you about another big hit, the Hulk Hogan WWF Wrestling Challenge Game. By dialing 1-900-454-HULK, you can hear my daily Power Pack messages giving you the latest scoops on the WWF. Plus, you can play my Hulk Hogan WWF Wrestling Challenge Game, where I'll be your manager for the match of your life, as you wrestle against the biggest and the baddest dudes in the WWF, like Ric Flair and The Undertaker and others. You could win and be eligible for a drawing for a great prize, including a grand prize, an all-expense-paid trip to meet me in person. Remember, the cost of the call is $1.49 for the first minute and 99 cents for each additional minute. If you're under 18, make sure you have your mom or your dad's permission before calling. What you gonna do when Suburban Commando and then Hulk Hogan WWF Wrestling Challenge Game run wild on you?
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Yeah, to be fair, you're getting into the second episode, which I just want to launch right into because Gina's got a heart out at 9.
It's me.
The second one, we're all over the place. If you thought nothing happened in that first one, boy, have I got a treat for you, because it's possible even less happened in the second one. And this
is
about
I have no idea who is the villain, who is a dork.
Are you kidding me? There's a girl who swears that she has a perm every time. She does not have a perm.
Okay.
No one told the writer of this episode what a fucking perm is.
I understand that that girl is supposed to be a bitch. Although, if she's dropping $80 every time she gets a perm because you can't get a perm wet, we've all seen Legally Blonde.
I was about to say, Legally Blonde taught us about perms.
If she's dropping $80 every time, no wonder she's being a little bit of a bitch every time it's ruined.
Oh, so you're saying that she's justified?
Yeah. But I will say, like, then there are, you know, like, there's like the foreign student who's presented as a dork, but is never treated like one by the hottest girls in school. Like, they're all like, oh my God, like the instant he's there, they're all like, oh my God, we love you. Well, yeah, and then he's like, oh, poor me. Woe is me. How do I be cool? Let me ask these two cool guys. And they're two stupid kind of like jockey guys who then we later find out are also dorks. And I just do not understand.
All right, Gina, let me break down 80s culture for you. This guy is good at algebra, therefore dork. Also,
I am Yeko, new student being in Surfside.
He is a foreigner, therefore has bad grammar and a name. His name is Yeko.
I thought his name was Yeko for the first 10 minutes of this episode.
No, it's Yeko Chutzpe.
But he's not treated like a dork by anyone except for one girl. It's firmly established that Moxie and her friends are popular. They host the TV show at their school,
but they're
and
also,
they love him.
They're the protagonists of this PSA type show, so they have to be kind. They're the ones teaching the lessons.
But it muddies the waters when literally everyone else is into this kid. The two when he meets the two stupid kids who are like, oh my God, we need to get someone to do our homework.
Just because they're stupid doesn't make them jocks. They are stupid and also unathletic.
Yeah, I thought they were like the AV club.
No, because the AV club is smart kids.
Yeah.
So they're going to bully him. Like, he's going to do their homework and the lesson is going to be that they're taking advantage of him. But no, they're like, hey, let's help this guy. Like, let's try and make him cool. But we have limited. I'm just saying, this is bad narrative structure.
Well, no, they were doing it to so that he would do his homework. It was like a quid pro quo. They're not bullies. They're just
entrepreneurs,
socially maladjusted.
Look, I mean, here's the deal. This guy, Yucko, is, I mean, vaguely Russian. I think that's kind of the vibe we're going for with him.
He's from Lower Petslovia.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
Definitely a Baltic Slav state. Country. Probably Czechoslovakia is what they're like.
He walks with bow legs. I mean, which is, you know, that's a little awkward. But he's pretty well toned. This guy's got a pretty good body, quite honestly. He's not like a real dick. He's generally a nice kid who's a little shy and quiet. He can juggle. And all the women, except for that one who keeps getting her comeuppance over and over again, are like, they're into him. They come over and like I did laugh. Okay. I did laugh when he gets introduced to three attractive women on the show and he remembers two of their names, but can't seem to remember the name of the African-American one. And I was a little bit like, ooh.
I thought that he did remember the.
No, because she had to come over and introduce herself. And she ended up being his biggest advocate.
Right.
I don't remember any of their names right now. So what do I know? But the thing is, like, he goes to these two stoner kids or whatever the heck they're supposed to be. I think one is a jock and the other's kind of a stoner. And I think that's kind of their vibe. Like a Breakfast Club kind of a deal or something.
One of them's wearing a bolo tie. And I don't know what high schooler wore a bolo tie in 1989.
Honestly, more than you probably would think.
This must be a regional thing.
I mean, well, to be fair, and you mentioned before, like the girl with the perm was the rich one. Chan, they're in Southern California. They're in Malibu, basically. Every single person on this show has a rich family. They go to like Seaside High School and they do surfing during the day.
I'm pretty sure her TV show is like the school TV show. So that checks out.
Yeah. None of these people are wondering where their next sandwich is coming from. You know what I'm saying?
Also, they were able to take him to cruise patrol and he could afford to buy, you know, these clothes. So he's probably doing okay too.
He's finally, his family came over from Lower Petslovia, probably mafia, you know,
his dad's probably an oligarch.
I mean, to be fair, yeah, he could be like one of Elon Musk's kids, for all I know. It makes a lot of sense. And so they end up bringing him on the Maxi's World show, where he shows off that he can juggle, but also they dress him up like the Fonz. Like, that was the big, that they brought to him. So they spiked up his hair like the Mohawk guy from Cobra Kai. They put him in those weird 80s, like, flat sunglasses, and they put him in sort of like a Michael Jackson meets Fonz outfit.
No. If Henry Winkler wore that as the Fonz, he would have the shit kicked out of him. And rightly so, because that is not Fonz. That is not Arthur Fonz really wear. That is definitively 1980s punk. What mainstream culture thought punk was.
What Andy Hayward thought punk was.
They have one of these dudes in every movie, in every 80s movie. Like, but usually they're like in the background. You know, usually it is like, you know, if you watch the movie Girls Just Want to Have Fun, there's a group of these kind of like punks that are over stylized like this. And
if they could have afforded to animate safety pins in the jacket, they would have.
Yeah,
that's fair. I mean, to be fair, he kind of a little bit reminds me of Louie from the character from The State.
It's,
and then he sort of just comes
Bluey.
In, says his catchphrase over and over again, and then just leaves.
Yeah, I want to dip my balls in it.
Yeah,
it does not remind me of that at all, because it in no way resembles that character from.
No,
the
because he comes in no matter what's going on. He dances around. He juggles whatever's nearby in a circle, and then he just like, I'm out, and then he leaves, and that's his whole bit.
You're literally just saying, oh, a character is when you repeat a thing, as opposed to giving any specifics of why this Swedish punk is at all like an Italian Guido character.
I've seen Saturday Night Live in the 90s, Gina. I think I can speak to just doing the same thing every time and calling that a character.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Also, I don't understand. I had to go back, and I'm mad at myself about this. I had to go back and watch it a second time, because he throws a bunch of ketchup products in the air and it lands on Perm Lady's head. Nobody seems to have any reaction to it at all. The next scene is he's about to throw himself off the docks because everyone hates him. Nobody cared. Like, what is he talking about? He throws his jacket into the ocean and his cowboy boots into the ocean.
Yo, bro has rejection dysphoria.
This is an ADHD kid, everybody.
Basically, I'm not sure if I think there were people laughing at him. And he finally realizes that this thing that he was doing is not getting the reaction that he thought And so, you know, yeah, then he bails.
And what ends up happening? Again, that very attractive one of the crew meets him at the docks.
Still wearing a bikini at fucking 8 o'clock at night for some reason.
Yes, she is. But to be fair, she's wearing it like under like a denim jacket or something.
Under a Letterman's jacket, a pink and blue Letterman's jacket.
There you go. I remembered it wrong. But yeah, it was under a jacket, though. And then she's just like, hey, man, how about you're not even like bad. Nobody's even like mad at you or like making fun of you. How about you go on a date with me and two of my friends tonight? And like, okay, this is wild. And then on the way to the date, a guy just randomly pulls up in a limousine and says, I have a contract for you to become a rock star. When did he display any musical talent whatsoever show?
There is a line that it's like hard to hear, but he says, first of all, they introduce this like music mogul so late in this episode. And he says, I'm looking for the new sound. And then when he meets him, he says like, yeah, the new sound is rhyming while juggling.
I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah.
Rhyme is what's happening.
He saw him on Maxie's show.
Yes.
The dorks had told him that the thing to do is to rap and to make everything you say rhyme. And that's how people will think you are cool in America. So he did that while he was rapping, wearing the punk clothes. The Svengali saw that and was like, yes, this is, you know, because he was watching videotapes of like hair metal bands, like, this is bullshit, I need the new thing. Juggle rock and rhyme is what he says. So that was, and the two dorks were like, hey, we ran across him, convinced him that we are your managers. And he threw it all over for that hot pee that four-way apparently that he's about to have.
About to go four square. It's crazy.
Yeah. And he's not wrong. He's absolutely not wrong.
To be fair, that contract will still be there in the morning. You don't know if those ladies will be.
I mean, the only reason to get into juggle rock and rhyme is for the ladies, and he's already got the ladies, so why bother?
Also a muddy lesson here, because the dorks who don't know what's what are technically right. Like, they're like, yeah, if you rap and rhyme, people will love you. And he could have gotten a big record contract from it. So again, muddy storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah. They sort of skirted over the lesson that like you should be yourself. And this thing that he was doing, this rhyming, wasn't himself. It wasn't his authentic self, you know, whatever.
But that's what gets him the big contract and the foursome.
No, that's what gets him laid.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think he's wrong.
And well, that's Maxie's world, everybody.
That's
what
Maxie
more do we
world.
Need to say? There's not a lot to say about the show. In fact, I think we're going to need to do all 16 episode, all 17 episodes of Maxie's world to really get a handle on these characters in this world. What do you guys think?
I think it's Maxie's world and we're all just living in it.
Go back to Lower Petslovia, yucko. I'm calling you Raymond Stacatus yucko, if that wasn't clear.
I mean, yucko is my father's name, so it's okay.
Are we done yet?
I mean, that was the curtain pull. I don't know what to tell you.
Maxie, it's your own TV show. Good times are happening in Maxie's world.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Hello, dear listeners. Do you enjoy playing video games with your best friends? Then I have the pod for you.
I'm Philip, host of the Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Each week, my co-host Nave and I break down a cooperative experience in gaming, and we are always looking for new co-op partners to join us. So come play with us on the Gaming Together podcast.
So I'm standing over this toilet taking a piss, and I'm playing my Pokemon, and I dropped it in the toilet. I remember the Game Boy just tumbling into water. And I remember screaming for my mom, trying to get this Game Boy.
Wait, how old are you?
And she yelled at me.
Oh my god!
Like, traumatized. I was like, no, my Pokemon.
That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Come on down, co-op partners.